Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88. Roads?
Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Cause Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode... Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Tunes, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTNet. And you can also tweet us at #OSATM. And we will read all the tweets on the show. Will is going to be our star and our host for this week in Mindfuck Movies. We're going to give the floor to you, Will. Take it away.
Thanks so much. Okay, guys. So my favorite kind of film is a film where you're just not sure what's going on. Not because it's poorly edited, but just because the director wanted to create something that was more or less unique. And maybe the end's going to help you, maybe not. But you really feel you're on this heck of a ride. I'll go to the table and we'll talk. What we're going to do is each person's going to have their three. We'll go one at a time. And we'll each go around the table to see what if they saw a movie and what they thought of it. So I'll start with you, Kevbo. Is there one movie where you really want to highlight that, you know, you just didn't know what was going on? And it blew your mind or something like that.
I was actually having a lot of trouble with this.
You want me to start?
No, well, I'll go with the obvious one then.
Okay.
Inception. It's pretty obvious from watching a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream inside of a dream.
Inside of a dream.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I thought they did a good job with it, even though it was like it was complicated. It was complicated in a way that you can understand. At least to me it was. And one thing, what I think is probably one of the biggest what the heck moments is the ending. I mean, it's perfect in the sense of the movie, but I remember when we went to watch it old school, like, you know, everyone groaned at the ending. It's like it's messing with your mind to come up with, like, it's leaving you to come up with your own conclusion, and you really don't see that in movies too often.
No, because it can potentially upset the audience.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's the same thing in TV. Not to branch off too much, but when the Sopranos finale, you know, ended, it ended without like any kind of resolution. So everyone's like, what happened? Did, you know, was he going to get killed? Was he not going to get killed? And for this movie, I think it's perfect. I like that they let you think, like, you can think what you want. Like, was it a dream or did he wake up to his reality and see his kids again? So I think it's perfect for in the context of the movie.
I want to know, Kebo, so what do you make of the ending?
That's the thing, I don't know. If I had to pick, I would say it did wobble a bit. So I'm inclined to think, I don't even remember. Wait, wobbling would mean it was real.
Reality, yeah. But does it matter, though?
No, I guess it doesn't matter. It's, I don't know.
What about you, old school?
Here's my thing.
Yeah, go for it.
You've invested 2 hours into this movie, focusing very closely, because if you go for a bathroom break, you're fucking lost in this thing. You don't know what the fuck's going
very
on.
Very true.
So for me, I like closure. I like a beginning, a middle, and an end. It pisses me the fuck off. And that's why a lot of people groaned at it.
Yeah.
But I'm inclined to think that it was going to fall off. To me, it was fake.
But you had your ending.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to see his kids. He got his kids.
Yes. But they should have still, if you invested that much time in it, show you that it was full of shit at the end. That, I don't know. It's just like a fuck you.
Well, you know what
I love Nolan. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies ever. But for me, I like the fact that they have closure on it. Like in Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, you actually like the scene at the end where Alfred sees them.
It was the safe
fucking scene.
Okay.
But yeah, I liked it.
Guys, the part, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a defibrillator in Inception. Do you remember that? It was a really weird scene where at the very end, they're not sure how to go. Because the rules change. Because apparently if you die, you just wake up. But they're so far in that if you die, you end up in limbo. But if you're in limbo, and at the end, Ellen Page dies and she wakes up, so I don't know what's going on. And then there's a defibrillator. So I'm like, wait, so he's not... Is he stuck in limbo and they're defibrillating him to get to another level? It got really complex. I was wondering if you guys remember that. I guess you didn't.
It's been a little while since...
I see. Here's a question. In the beginning of Inception, Leo goes to see the Asian guy, okay? And the Asian guy is really, really, really old. That's how the movie opens. Then it goes back and it just shows you how it ended up there. Did you guys finally understand what that was referring to?
Because once he goes the fourth level down...
Yeah.
The time goes by super slow.
Yeah. Well, it's because if you don't have if you don't have a totem to remind you that you're not, that you're dreaming, then you think you're in reality, and then time will take its toll. Just like that's the point of when he was with his wife in limbo, and he hid away her totem, making her think that this was like reality. They got old together. So that was explained at least. So that was that.
Right.
Yeah. You old school. Is there a movie that really blew your mind or made you go WTF quite a bit?
I would say on the WTF front, Donnie Darko is the most fucking retarded movie. I've seen it two or three times. I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
I never watched. It's the one film I have not watched yet of those kinds. Supposedly, it actually ties up into a time loop type of thing. And you say it still doesn't make sense within it?
It's just insane. I mean, essentially the premise is it's about a fucked up kid that sees lots of shit while he daydreams and night dreams. I mean, that's it's just an absolute freak show. That's all I can say. I'll watch it two times and there's fucking rabbits and shit flying through the house.
Does the end explain anything?
I should have probably revisited it before coming to talk to you.
No, but it's cool because you telling me this means that even though you watch the end, you still your mind still goes by all the fucked up shit instead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For example, us who are comfortable in Inception, we know what's going on. We're able to say, well, we reasoned it this way. And these are the only that's bothering us a bit. But in your case, because the movie's all fucked up, even at the end it might have explained it, I'm sure they explained enough for it to register in your head. That's what I'm assuming.
I would say for the, what the fuck, that would be that. Yeah, no. For me, the mark out and one of my favorite movies is Fight Club.
Oh, okay. But that one's not bad, though.
It wasn't. I mean, I guess some people could say, oh, I saw it coming. I didn't.
No, near that.
And I love the fact that Brad Pitt was an alternate ego of the guy. I mean, and I love that the fact that it had closure and, it had that middle, beginning, middle, and end. And it brought you through the entire story. And it just had what,
I got you.
For me, that's the type of cinematic experience that I want to go through. I want to have definitive closure. But again, I know some people don't, some people don't mind the mind fucks. But if I were to have watched Sopranos for how many years and that ending, I would have fucking lost my shit.
You know what I like most about Fight Club? Do you know how it ends? You know the last image you see is what?
Well, I mean, I know it's Ed Norton, but I'm trying to...
The last image of the film. Because there's a scene in the movie where Ben Affleck, Brad Pitt, who is Ed Norton, okay, is at the movies and he puts subliminal messages inside. He puts a cock. And he says your mind didn't see it, but you're still you feel. And then a kid starts crying. The movie ends with a picture of a cock just flying.
No wonder you love this movie.
That's exactly where I was going.
That's awesome.
But one thing I didn't get, and maybe someone will help me, old school. What I found weird was that at the end, Ed Norton kills, I'm doing finger quotes, kills Brad Pitt by shooting himself in the mouth. But he's not dead, though.
It's more of the shock.
Okay.
So I know he doesn't kill himself, but I think it's more of like a wake-up call. It'd be instead of kind of slapping yourself silly, you're shooting yourself in the face. You know what I mean? It's a little overkill, but I think it got the point across, and he's like, okay, this is my alter ego, whatever. So
what I find nuts is that the ending is itself a mindfuck. Not in the sense of it's screwing with your mind, but the idea of action. Because usually films, it ends with they prevent a disaster. But in this one, they succeed at it. And, I don't know if you remember the ending, but the whole point is that now there's no more credit records. I'd love to see a sequel to that. Not about them, but, how does the world function if everybody's credit record was erased and they have a clean bill. Like, it'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Kepo and Heavyset?
I did not.
How about you, Heavyset? Yo, Heavy.
Fight Club?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen. I will say this about Fight Club. I made the mistake. I was up like 20 hours the first time I got to sit down and watch it. And that movie seriously fucked with me because I was so tired.
Okay, well, look. Is there another movie you want to discuss then?
I'm not really big on these type of movies. I mean, besides some of the ones we've already talked about. Well, one that I don't know if you would consider it that, but it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's how I felt with it. The Box.
The Box.
I never watched it. Is it like The Cube? It's like, what was The Box?
You're given this box, and if you hit it...
Credits.
Heavy. I know. It's, is it, who's in it? Is it Nicole Kidman in it?
No, Cameron Diaz and Cyclops.
Yes.
Isn't box slang for vagina?
And it's got a man who's scarred. The guy who played Skeletor in the old He-Man movie, isn't it? Yeah. He's a scarred man. I know what you mean. And the whole point, it's a test about whether you should touch the box or not.
Yeah.
No, but listen, man. You know what? Old school, I know why it messes with Heavy, and I didn't think about this. I wanted to forget this movie. Until you brought it up, Heavy, I have forgotten it. Because it doesn't give you a satisfying conclusion. What do you think?
I think that's what I liked about it. What I liked about the movie was it was also one of those movies that you can watch you can watch as many trailers as you want for it. It still does not paint you a clear picture of what you're going to see in the movie. And that's one reason why I remember going into it. My girlfriend wanted to see it. I was like, whatever. We'll go. And then it was like, I was really drawn into it because I didn't know what to expect. I know we own it on DVD and I have not got a chance to sit down and watch it. I want to sit down and rewatch it now.
Does anybody eat out of the box?
Old school, by the way, tell you what it is. A man comes to your door, gives you a box, and says, I can grant you all your wishes if you press this button. However, it will kill someone.
Okay, yes, I remember this. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I remember the trailer. Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, fuck the other person.
That. But that's the point.
Credits.
That's the point.
I press the button in 3 seconds. Fuck whoever else is, you know, not me.
Okay. I've got a few movies. I'll mention one for now. And it's not a... I went what the fuck and I really hate it, but I want to close it. Did anybody watch Funny Games with Naomi Watts? Anybody watch that? No?
I'm convinced Naomi Watts is a poor man's Nicole Kidman.
No, but she does the fucked up shit that people don't do. Like
she's like Nicole Kidman minus the accent.
She has her own accent, no?
No, it's like... No, she's like the Americanized Nicole Kidman. It's like, oh fuck, we don't got enough money. Oh, let's see if Naomi Watts is available.
Do you know what her first big movie was, by the way, old school?
Didn't she go with, what's his name? The guy in Milk there.
Sean Penn.
Yeah, didn't she do some spy movie with Sean Penn?
A spy movie, but before that was Mulholland Drive, which is going to come up later in this podcast.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, but about this film, I'll tell you what it is, and I'll ruin it for people. Obviously, there's spoilers already, but this one has huge spoilers, and I'll tell you why I hate it. So, the point is, it's people that go... their cottage, okay? They're these really rich, I guess rather rich people, okay? They have means. And you have these two white kids, all in white, and they have long hair. They look Swedish. It was a Swedish film first, and it became an American remake. And it's pretty much the same thing, shot for shot. What they do is they start torturing them slowly. So they come to their house, they remove their cell phones so they have no contact, and they bring them in hostage. I think they kill their dog. They do a bunch of crap. And they do torture them. And there's a scene where whenever one of them tries to escape, for some reason, these two guys are really quick and they always, like, they always catch him. They always put him back. And this is the kind of movie where obviously you're hoping that the good guys win, right? There's a scene where Naomi Watts takes one by surprise. This is, I'd say, within about 4/5 of the film. Takes one by surprise and gets out free. The guy gets up, picks up a remote from the floor, presses rewind, and the whole movie rewinds to right before she hit him.
Ah, fourth wall break.
Fourth wall break. But not just, and then what he does, he just takes them and kills them, like dumps them in the river. That was like...
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's like fucking... Because you know what it was? It was an experiment. The movie director was saying, like, with all this torture porn, because at this time, Saw was really hot, okay? It was like, you Americans, or you whatever, people of the world, you want to see these kinds of movies, and let's just watch it and see, you know, if you leave the movie theater or not. If you don't, you still have the way, you want to see torture porn, you'll get it. You'll get your torture, because there's nobody getting out of it. At that point, it becomes just shock value, nothing else. And I don't know, you find it awesome. I was really pissed off. That was I think the biggest what the fuck for me.
I'm a huge fan of fourth wall breaks. And that's probably why I'm a fan of Kevin Smith movies, because he often breaks the fourth wall, mostly in dialogue. But
okay. Back to you, Kevbo. Is there any movie you want to talk about that really just messed with you? You knew what was going on.
I was thinking of something like it's not messed with me in the sense that I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, you could say Mark Out too. Like,
yeah, whatever got like a big reaction from you.
I would have to go with Arlington Road.
Oh, you bastard.
I never heard of this. What is that? Tell me more about it.
Wow, you haven't seen Arlington Road?
No, I never did. What is that?
Wow, okay.
I haven't seen Arlington Road. Is that bad?
Yeah, Kev's going to spoil it for you, but it's awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing, because when the movie originally came out, like they couldn't really show much on a trailer, because if they did, they'd spoil the movie. So even with the trailers, you didn't really know what was going on. And the basic premise of the movie is, well, I guess I'm spoiling it now, but... these two people, this couple move in next door to a guy, I believe he's widowed, a widowed father, played by, was it Jeff Bridges?
It wasn't Jeff Bridges,
who was it?
Oh, fuck.
I can see his face.
It was the guy in Shawshank, right? Tim Robbins?
Yeah, Tim Robbins was one of the neighbors, but the main guy.
Hold on, keep talking, I'll get it.
Anyway, the basic premise is these two people move in. And at first they seem like normal.
Oh, wait, regular. It's Jeff Bridges. It is Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Anyway, they move in, and at first they seem like normal people, but then they kind of start doing like suspicious stuff, and eventually Jeff Bridges' character kind of suspects that something's wrong with, like, not something's wrong, but that they're not who they say they are, and you know they seem perfectly normal, and he's seeing this other side of them. And he's slowly seeing more and more things, but nobody else kind of sees it. And they end up turning to be terrorists. But what really shocked me was the ending, where, because, you know, normally with this kind of movie, you figure maybe you'll get a medium ending, maybe it'll be a happy ending. But the good guys lose, because, well, I guess I'll spoil it. I mean, it's been out long enough. Anyway, they were going to blow up a building. And he thinks he's warning the people at the building, but it turns out the Jeff Bridges character was driving the car with the explosives. So basically, you know, he ends up being the terrorist. His kids end up losing their father, and the terrorists win.
Yes.
Like, I'm not explaining it very well, but it's like, it's not even like a middle-of-the-ground ending. The terrorists completely win.
I love when the bad guy wins. It never happens, but...
By the way, you guys, something to blow your mind? Do you know what the screenwriter of the movie is? Aaron Kruger. Do you know what the last three movies that Aaron Kruger made? Transformers 2, Transformers 3, and Transformers 4.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah. Not everybody has to...
But it's that one moment where, like, he realizes and the audience realize that he just ended up blowing up the whole building when he was trying to save it. But yeah, it's just that one moment where you're like, did this really happen? Did they win? And I'm trying, I don't remember what was supposed to happen with the kids, but basically, like, the two young kids just lose their father because the terrorists wanted to blow up a building. And what's, like, part of what's, like, messed up is the opening scene is you see a kid with blood on his hands just running down the street, and you're like, what's going on here? And it just, from there, it's a slow build. Like I said, when the trailer came out, you didn't know too much about it because it would kind of ruin the premise of the movie. But when you're watching it, you're like, they really went there.
Cabin in the Woods had a similar feel.
Is that the one you're going to pick now, Old School?
Yeah, because Cabin in the Woods had a similar feel at the end where it's like, are they going to fucking go there? Are they? Holy shit, they just went there. And the fact that it just like ends the entire world, it's over. It just... The absolute most insane ending you could think happens actually happens. It's one of my favorite endings in film ever.
You just say, fuck it, and the whole world just dies.
You just say, fuck it. Yeah. You know, not just like, don't do the right thing. Fuck it, end of the world. Like, but that's the way cinema should be. It shouldn't always be the safe ending or the logical ending. It's a fake world that somebody makes up. So who cares if they go... And just go fucking all up, balls to the wall, and just have these crazy endings, you know? Like,
well, it's like, for example, when people watch Pulp Fiction for the first time. and he saw it, and then he saw John Travolta. All of a sudden, midway through, John Travolta just dies, just gets killed right there. Like, that's like, I don't know, I found it fun that Tarantino would do that. But back to Cabin in the Woods, old school. What I found tough about the film was that even though it was mocking the typical horror genre, we still had to suffer through it for half the film.
Well, it's almost like it's like fate and you can't control it.
Okay.
It's just the way it is, you know? You know, it was people in the background and stuff. But
yeah.
I like how they kind of acknowledge it. And the guy's like, don't fucking read that book or don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, I know what you mean, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's my favorite line. It's like, I'm drawing a line in the fucking sand with a Latin. Yeah, it's good stuff.
But they still have those idiotic characters who follow the fucking thing anyways, you know, like, it's frustrating, but it's also kind of like, you know, there's people in life that are like that.
Yeah.
Just follow shit blindly and, you know, so.
I see. Anybody else kinda watch Cabin in the Woods? Have you said, Kev, would you watch Cabin in the Woods?
You two guys, you really should check this out. I'm not a horror movie fan at all, and I fucking love this movie just because of the insanity.
Well, I love the last third. The last third I found phenomenal. How about
But that's why it's worth, like, the beginning. Yeah. Yeah, it's like typical horror movie. They're kind of acknowledging that it's, you know, something weird, but... So, but I like the progression of it, and at the end is like it's like they fucking went there. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. And this,
can I throw another one out there?
Go for it. What else?
Another DiCaprio movie, Shutter Island. Has anybody seen that?
I watched it. Anybody else?
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, go ahead, Oz. Go. I have a few quips I want to talk about, but I want you to go for it.
Yeah. So the premise is two kind of like FBI agents that go on this island to try to like. Figure, you know, what's going on. And at the end of it, you find out that the guy's actually fucking nuts. And it's like, it's all bullshit, you know? So, but he's believing it so strongly that's you're convinced that it's the case. And at the end, you see, like, it's almost like you put yourself as a crazy person. Like, the crazy person doesn't know he's crazy. You know, he thinks he's normal.
What I find fun is that you never, the big clue is that it starts, he's already in the water. He's already on the boat towards the island. So you actually never see him outside of that island.
It's true. Yeah, now that I think of it, yeah. I didn't catch on, I guess, as quick maybe some other people did for this.
No, I didn't get it. Don't worry. Also, I didn't get it. I'm just saying, in retrospect, I realized, we never actually saw him outside of it.
But for me, it was really like Beautiful Mind puts you in that first person of like somebody who has, can see different, like people who aren't there and stuff. This did the same thing for, you know, like if I were fucking crazy, I would be convinced too that they're all fucking nuts and I'm the actual. So it kind of puts you in their shoes. And that's what I really, really liked about it.
What I didn't like is at a certain point in the movie, I don't feel was being fair to us because there's a scene where they're deliberately fucking with him. So because at the end, when it's starting to unravel, he goes to see that. I love how they have a German doctor in there. And it's so racist because it's like, I think it's in the, it takes place in maybe the 50s or 60s, and he's like, oh, you're just like a Nazi in disguise. But at a certain point, he loses his partner, and he goes to see the doctor. The doctor's like, what partner? And he's like, nothing, I meant nothing. That blows, because the whole point is that the way the movie's set up is that they're giving him the run of the place so that he can actually fulfill his little fantasy by finding him a partner. And they're like deliberately fucking with him at the end, and thus fucking with us. And I didn't find that part fair. The rest I found not bad.
Yeah, I kind of see what you mean. But, I mean, I think that's done just more for the market value.
Yeah, that makes sense. How about you, Hibs? What did you think?
It is another one of those movies. I've seen it. I remember, actually, I think I went to a midnight premiere of this one because I was so excited for it. And, like I said, it's been a while, but I remember loving the ride that they give you. Yes, I agree to everything almost what was said, like how they were fucking with them. That's another one I really need to go back and watch. But I think the thing that gets me, and I don't know if you've heard this from other people too, but I remember when that movie came out, a lot of people didn't like it. And I'm like, how could you not like this movie? It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't. Also, what I found cool is that it was actually a Martin Scorsese movie, and he was trying to get into a genre that he never did before, and I thought he did a pretty good job. So, hey, all I got you, heavy set. What's your next movie?
I can't think of anymore.
About Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Did you watch that?
No, that is on a list of movies that I do need to get around to seeing.
Jim Carrey, Kate Winslet, Mark Ruffalo, Elijah Wood, Kirsten Dunst. This is cool because the premise is, if I remember correctly, it's two people trying to erase each other's memory of each other because they like weren't getting along. They said, okay, let's fuck it. Let's just like pretend.
Yeah.
We never went. And then by doing that, they somehow got together again at some point and then realized and then, you know, so.
Well, the point is that what you're going through their process of removing her from him. That's what the movie's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get to see like, I guess through time he tries to like escape within his mind to keep her. The movie's cool, but I didn't find it too confusing, the Old School. It's just that it's more
of a mind fuck, I guess, for them.
I see, yeah.
For me, I put it on the list because it's just one of those. It's not, you know, your A, B, and C fucking safe.
Yeah, and throughout the film, there's a bunch of, like, crazy imagery, too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I like how it eventually unravels and you figure out what's going on. And I like movies that make you think, yeah, too. So, and it's, from what I remember, it wasn't a happy ending either.
It's a weird ending. What they do, and you'll find it really cool, it depends the version you watch, but the initial version was just a loop of them walking on the beach. It could maybe make you wonder, like, maybe they're just always doing this again. They're always, like, changing their memories and they're getting back together, I guess, unknowingly. That's what it was, the ending first. Or it could just be that that's all you'll get. You'll get them walking on the beach, and if you want to see more of it, there's them walking on the beach again. We don't know what happens beyond that. So it's...
Right, okay. It's
The movies I want to discuss, because we watched them together. Did you watch The Fountain, Kevbo?
I watched The Fountain,
Okay. The Fountain is the one I also wanted to talk about. Did it make you go WTF any part of the movie?
Pretty much all of the movie. In my defense, I was drinking that day, so I kind of focused on one aspect of the movie and went with that.
And what was that one aspect?
That would be the monkey. All I wanted to know was the monkey okay?
I love it. You're not the only one. Old School, I'll tell you how it works. It's a very cool, interesting movie. I'll tell you too, obviously, heavy set. It's a film where you've got Hugh Jackman and Rachel Weisz, and she's suffering from a tumor in the brain, and he's a neurosurgeon, and he tests on monkeys that also have those kind of tumors, tries to find like new techniques. And throughout it, the whole theme is about him not wanting her to die, and that she's accepting death. At the same time, they're showing you images of a conquistador trying to find a tree of life. Conquistador is also played by Hugh Jackman. And you also, at the same time, this is the weird part, you have a bald monk who's in space in an eco-sphere with a tree going towards, like, the skies, and it's all golden around him. And that's also Hugh Jackman. I'm guessing that the tree is his wife in that sense. So it's... But the movie just cuts. In the beginning, you're just going, what the hell? And one of the fun reveals is, you know he's a neurosurgeon. And he just, yeah, he uses the monkey's first name. Like, he says, I don't know if his name is Evan. He's like, is Evan ready? Yeah, then he just starts doing stuff. We don't see the monkey. You don't see it's a monkey. You just see it's a very professional environment. And then it pans down. And he said it's a monkey that they're operating on. And Kevo just went like, wait, what? It's a monkey? And at the end, he accepts death. It's an odd ending. You're not really sure if what's happening in front of you is really true. But you do get a sense that he has accepted that his wife has died. And the movie just ends that way. And when it was over, the first thing Kevo went was like, but guys, is the monkey okay?
I literally had no idea what was going on in the movie.
Yeah.
But like I said, to be fair, I was drinking. So
no, we were all drinking. It was the kind of movie, I love watching that film. It's fun. That one, Old School, I would say, is very similar to Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind. However, unlike that film, you're not as clear as to where it's going. Since it's cutting between three different stories, which are linked, but you have to like I'll tell you a fun story. I lived in Singapore for a little while, and one day when I was in my classes, one of the teachers, who was one of the only other white guys around, said that he liked movies by Darren Aronofsky, who's the filmmaker. I said, sir, did you watch, in front of all these Asians who couldn't care less, they were in finance, they couldn't care less about movies. And I was like, sir, did you watch The Fountain? And he said, no, I'd like to. I'll do it and I'll talk to you tomorrow. So he watched it that night. The next morning, he came in. He saw me. He's like, William, we need to talk. This movie is I don't know what to think anymore. So that was a lot of fun. I recommend it to pretty much a bunch of people. It's got Hugh Jackman and Rachel Weisz. It's a decent film. Very beautiful. Filmed in Montreal. So fun for us three, you know, represent. However, like I said, it is a total mindfuck, and you can have your own interpretations at the end. So, Heavyset, this obviously does not sound like your kind of movie, I know, but it's still a worthy watch, and because so much is happening, the movie passes by quite quickly. Another way I want to mention, has anybody ever seen Primer? No?
Yeah, was that the one with the time travel?
Yeah. You watched it?
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's the one I'd like to talk about for a mindfuck. Was your mind fucked?
I'm trying to remember, because I remember being confused when I was watching it.
Yeah.
And, like, I haven't seen it in years, but I'm like, because it's, if I remember correctly, it's two average guys building a time travel device, right?
That's all it is. It's by mistake, they build a time travel device.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of time travel, like, this is the way it works, okay? You have a machine, you go into it, and then you exit from it. But the whole point is that as soon as you exit it, you have to leave. You can't stay there. Because the whole point is that the you of the future is going to just come into it. Something of the sort. But the whole point is that in the beginning, it kind of makes sense. But then eventually, it just totally goes nuts where you can have three of the exact same person at the exact same time. And you're not sure how that works at all. It's an extremely odd film, and that's the one that messed me the most. Also, it's very low budget, so a lot of stuff happens off camera. So, like, all of a sudden, it'll just go nuts, and you don't know what's going on, because the guy had to control his budgets. So that's what it was. The guy's name is Inkaruth. It's a very interesting film. So that's my pick. Any other mentions you guys want to talk about?
Can we talk more about, I know we're talking about, like, movies that you said, like, what? But how about, like, maybe some endings we really enjoyed?
Sure. Sure.
I'll throw another one out. Not a lot of people talk about The Illusionist.
Oh, yes. Yes, old school.
This ending was fucking fantastic.
It's phenomenal. It is.
When they plan the death and she comes back from the dead and it's all fucking.
But it works,
like,
though.
It does.
It totally works.
It totally does work. I mean, yeah, it's fantastic.
We don't get to know how he's able to grow through some tree there. That's not shown. But everything else, like that, I link it a lot to The Prestige. Do you watch Prestige?
Prestige.
It's the same thing, but Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
Did you watch that?
No.
It was weird. That same year, there was another mindfuck magician film that took place in the same era, and that's what it was. But yeah, Illusionist, I love, and it just works. I don't think we should spoil that one, right? Also, since just talking about endings?
No, that's fine.
Okay, cool. But yeah, anybody else watch it?
The Illusionist?
Yeah, I'm asking if any. Yeah, Kevbo or Heavyset?
Nay for me.
All right.
It's what that magic movie with all the stars should have been. It's the one with Woody Harrelson, Morgan Freeman was in it.
Yeah, what was it called? Now You See Me.
Kane, Michael Caine. Yeah, see, that's I wanted an ending like that.
It doesn't happen.
And I knew it was going to go like the, what the fuck is this kind of ending? I knew it was going to be that, and I still had to see it just to know.
I see. But yeah, my pick would be like The Prestige, which also works really, really well. It's no, even though there is a bit of sci-fi, the main magic trick that you don't see is totally explained. The whole film, it's one of those, I'll tell you what kind of ending it is, and I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. It's at the end, he starts giving a monologue, and it just goes to a bunch of flashbacks to clues you might not have seen before, and now, no, in this light, it makes sense. That's what the kind of ending it is. So yeah, the Illusionist has that. The Prestige. What other movie has an ending that just makes you go like?
We were in the back of a car one time. Kebo Trek ruined a fucking movie for me.
Was it Looper? No.
Yeah, you fucker. Wait, you ruined Looper for me.
How do you ruin Looper? It's not much to ruin.
No, but I was looking forward to it, and Kev's like, "Oh, you know, he shot himself." I'm like, "Yeah, thanks, asshole. You fucking dick."
You know what?
You also ruined Sixth Sense for me too.
No, you ruined Sixth Sense for me.
What are you talking about?
I've never actually seen The Sixth Sense.
No, you ruined it for me.
No, you ruined it for me.
I don't remember what happened.
I remember it. Someone ruined it for you, and then you ruined it for me.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Because I was like, "Fuck it, yeah. It's ruined for me." You
horrible. You might as well. You're a horrible friend.
To be fair, I didn't really want to see it anyway, so it's not a problem.
But you know,
but that's. I mean, you're talking mind fuck,
guys. Supposedly,
I've never seen The Sixth Sense.
Really?
You want us to ruin it?
No, because I already knew the ending before I ever got a chance to watch it. So it's like, okay. But the thing that, even though I didn't get to see that movie, I got the same experience when I watched a particular episode of Scrubs, where they had Brendan Fraser's character die in mid episode, who was like a random character that had come along, and the one character, Dr. Cox, keeps seeing him, and they don't really explain until the end that he's dead. Like, since I've never got to experience that way, I did at least get to experience the 22-minute version, but even that one got me.
All right. I mean, well, actually, we could say about most Night Shyamalan movies. However, like, they get really terrible.
That fucking guy's a one-hit wonder. He had the mark-out movie, and then everything else is a piece
of
shit.
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Like, that was After Earth and that shit.
He's going to be doing, like, indie films, man.
The problem with him was he always went for that, like, shocking ending, and after, like, it's a gimmick. Like, it became his gimmick where he tried to do, like, he kind of want to one-up himself. And eventually the movies, like you said, just got worse and worse because he was always trying to put in the surprise ending.
You know what? I'm really surprised that Heavy didn't mention this, but the first Saw, when the guy gets up.
Okay.
You're like, what?
I was going to mention it, but seems like every time we do a special episode, I mention Saw. So I was like, you know what? But I will say this. It's the two of that whole series that I think have a really big what the fuck ending is the first one. And if you didn't put all the pieces together, no pun intended, for the up until the last movie, when it's revealed like who the last person is to make sure that, yeah, it's been so long. It's Dr. Gordon who was captured in one of the main ones in the first movie, and then he actually survived it after he crawled out and Jigsaw helped him to life, and then it's stuff they show at towards the end of the movie and how it was his plan the whole time, and he knew that everybody that he had had a part of this plan was going to like fuck everything up. So he had the Dr. Gordon keep an eye on his wife. And of course, when the crooked cop kills his wife, that's when the final step comes and he pulls off the mask. And it's Dr. Gordon. Granted, I've seen it coming, but I marked the fuck out.
But you know what, Heavy said? I got really bored with those because I watched those movies one after the other. Pretty much like in a week, I watched most of them. And I got really, really tired of that same ending. It's the same thing where at the end it does all the flashbacks and you're like, oh yeah, it was him. Oh my god, it was, oh my, I just couldn't care less. I don't know.
But the thing with those movies is, like I said before, they were like giant riddles. They leave you pieces and it's up to you to pick them up and piece everything together when
so
he
they're
says,
like jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how they did everything. But that's what made those. I mean, that's what made those movies interesting to me. And it was as soon as he said, "Like, I want to play a game." It's like, all right, he's giving me a riddle. I want to try to figure this out for them. I think that's the wrestling fan coming out in me. And I'm sitting there watching this movie, like tearing it apart, trying to figure out what they're gonna do. And then I think around the third or fourth movie, they started doing something in all the last movies, and it would be this one thing that wouldn't be explained until the next movie when they could kind of go, what happened with this? Like,
I hated that though. I
loved it because
that
made me go, okay, this is going to be explained in the next movie. Like, for example, when Jigsaw's widow or ex-wife or whatever goes to a doctor's office, I was like, oh my God, she just went to Gordon's office. Oh my God, I can't fucking wait. And it's something they didn't explain in the movie. And I love that shit.
I'll say one thing about Saw movies. The girl they picked to play, like, Jigsaw's wife, man, that's a milf and a half. Anyways, moving along, thanks for all these great picks. For those out there, if there is a movie that fucked with your mind too, please let us know, either on the Twitter hashtag or just Twitter, you know.
The Twitter.
What's our hashtag again? Go ahead, old school.
Hashtag OSATM.
Good, and then like just mind fucked films. So let us know. I'm curious. I love these movies. So let us know if there's one that we didn't mention that you think we should watch. And I recommend all the ones, if you're into mindfuck movies, like I said, Mulholland Drive, The Fountain, Donnie Darko, which I have not seen yet. These are really the films I recommend.
Memento. I can't believe we didn't mention Memento.
But is Memento really a mindfuck?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's Nolan's really good. Yeah. But you know what's awesome? I know we're dragging on. One thing I love old school is that Memento is not filmed that way as a gimmick. That's the only way the movie could work.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is that at the end, which is the beginning of the chronology, you realize that what path he's on and what and everything that's going to happen is meant for one reason. So that's how it works. And also, what's cool about the film is that you're experiencing it like him, because it's filmed in reverse in like about, I'd say, 10 to 15 minute segments. Whenever you start a segment, when you're back in chronology, you actually don't know where you're at, and neither does the main character. So it's really, it's one of the smartest movies I've ever seen.
That's why I have so much, I'm so looking forward to Interstellar, just because I know this fucking guy can deliver.
Yeah, wait, but old school, one question, one more memento. You remember, you have it pretty clear in your head, the film?
I've seen it a couple of times, okay. It's been a couple of years,
Does he, because there's this shot of him pinching his wife's tie. And it's and what he does, Nolan, is he does the same take, the same shot, but instead of him pinching it, he's actually inserting a needle of, I'd say, I guess, penicillin. And you're wondering if he has remorse over having killed his wife through an overdose, or if it's just in his head and he just really just pinched her like that for fun. You remember that old school? No?
I do not remember that. Your memory's fucking fantastic.
No, because those scenes mess with me. They really mess. Like, I'm so glad we got this podcast. That shit messes with me, guys. So, like I said, something that messed with you guys, please tweet us, write to us, let us know. Okay? So, this was Will on the extent of Heavy Set, Kev Bochrack, and Old School. I wish you all an awesome day.
Cock talk. Oh, yeah. Plugs, buddy.
Huh?
Plugs.
Oh, we do plugs for these shows too? Sorry.
Yeah, for everything,
okay,
man.
Okay. Oh, so, guys, any plugs have you set?
www.kfabesports.com. And since Carp's not here, Stable Wars.
Stable Wars, we need new members.
We're always looking for new members. We got something coming up this week. We had the results from something last week. So, yeah, check us out. And StableWars.com.
How about you, Kepo? Anything to mention?
No.
What's a good movie you should check out?
Shoot, what's the last good movie I've checked out? Well, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica, so check out a great series. There we go.
Okay, cool stuff. How about you, old school?
Anything couple you plugs first. What?
Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, StableWars.com, where my joke pick, CockTalk.com presents Cock Talk starring Will, came in third.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, it's my Cock Talk stable came in third, and my actual stable came, like, near the bottom. It came in 79th.
Wait, but Stable Wars, that's for betting on what?
It's for fantasy wrestling. So, like, you're picking, like, what matches are going to win. It's but like you're picking what football games are going to win.
Isn't that already a fantasy?
What's that?
Isn't wrestling already a fantasy? Fantasy?
Yeah, whatever.
Wrestling's
you fucking mark. It's real.
Damn it.
All right, so there was 87 people who played. My normal picks came in 76th. And my, because I always pick the opposite of what I picked, which is like John Cena winning and all like the jobbers. That came in fucking third. So here's the rule. For any kind of fantasy sports, whatever you're going to pick, just pick the opposite and you're going to win everything.
Wait, but John Cena winning, that was your pick?
That was the Cock Talk.
Why wouldn't he win?
Because everybody thought Brock Lesnar was going to win.
Oh, I see.
So I got like 76 points just for that. The Miz, I got 79. Like, I only got four or five things right, but because
the odds were so against you, it just went.
Yeah, with John Cena, like, there was fucking two people who thought Cena was going to win. I got a bunch of points because of that.
Can
so.
You change your picks throughout the, like, I'm thinking of like a football league. It's not like that, right? You do it once and that's it?
Well, this is the one-time thing, but they also, if you were to pay attention during the podcast, Carp also mentions that you can also go into seasons as well for each federation.
Oh, I see.
So there's back and forth. And my last plug, ellaphotography.ca.
Oh, awesome stuff. I recommend it too. I thought it was just great work. Good. And for me, comic books, FTW, we got brand new cosplay stuff. We got to see Yaya Han, one of the best of all time. She's there. We got a bunch of that.
Oh, her and her...
And her two good friends.
And her goods.
Her good friends. All her assets.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yaya Weewa. Okay, so take care, guys.